So we know there are things that work and there are things that don't work. So knowing that, that God has given you and me basically 100 years, let's say we get 100 years to live on this earth, we are on a mission of learning how to make our lives work, aren't we? We want our lives to work, and we want each day to count for something. Now, God has promised us that we can find success in life. We can find fulfillment in life. We can find purpose, and we can find victory, and we have been going after it as a church. We have set out on a mission of discovering God's wisdom, discovering God's understanding, and God's knowledge on how to live lives that work. Now, on this mission that we have been on since the new year, we have taken God's wisdom at face value. What the Bible says, it says, and that's what we go by. We have come to God's plan with open minds, and we have come to God's plan with open hands. We honestly want to know what God instructs us to do to live life to the full. That's been our mission. So we're just going to continue on right where we left off last week in Proverbs chapter 3, picking up at verse 9. It says this: honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Interesting. It doesn't take past chapter 3 in Solomon's Book of Wisdom for Solomon to address our finances. And that makes sense. After all, finances are foundational in living life. If you do not have a handle on your finances, you certainly will not feel like you have a handle on life. Jesus does not skip this subject of our finances. He doesn't shy away from it at all. He gives us the full truth on this subject. In fact, finances and money are such a foundational issue in our lives that we see Jesus' 38 parables, of his 38 recorded parables, 16 of them dealt with possessions or money. In fact, this whole subject is addressed throughout the Bible, and it's addressed a lot. If you were to look up how many times the Bible talks about prayer, you would find almost 500 verses on that. If you looked up how much the Bible talked about faith, you would again find about 500 verses on faith. But when it comes to money, you will find four times as many verses. 2,000 verses on money and possessions. That means that finances and money are a key issue in our lives, and that we must understand this issue to have our lives run well. If Jesus talks about this issue in 42% of his illustrations, then rest assured, it's vitally important in finding life at its fullest. So with all this focus on money and possessions in God's word, we really need to get some background. It's going to be a very theological study tonight. That way we can get our hands fully around this issue. And to do that, we need to look at and understand what works and what doesn't work when it comes to personal finances. So let's look at first at what works. We'll go back and look at what works. Jesus was asked in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." He said, "That is the first and greatest commandment." What Jesus has done is he has boiled down God's commands, he has boiled down our motives, and he has boiled down the essence of our life's purpose to this: want the best for God at your own expense. Want the best for God at your own expense. That's love. Love is wanting the best for someone else wanting the best for someone else is wanting the best for someone else at your own expense. And this, in this verse, Jesus is saying, as it pertains to our hearts. That means love what God loves. Long to feel what God feels. Crave what God craves. And when we put God's heart cry before our heart cry, that will make our life work. Jesus says, our hearts need to be God's. Our minds need to love God next, he says. That means wanting God's thoughts, wanting God's ways, wanting God's thinking. We want all that to supersede our thinking. With God's mind supervising our life, we will find that our life works. Jesus teaches that God wants us completely focused and completely dependent on him. Heart, mind, and soul. And Jesus points this out as the most important thing we can do. The most important thing. And you know, we saw this. We saw this dependence. We saw this trust back in the Garden of Eden. Remember when God brought Adam to the garden? Here we had God leading Adam in what Adam would do, his vocation. We had God leading Adam in that duty that he gave him. Adam had no cares. Adam had no worries. He had no issues. He was fully reliant on God. Adam is completely focused and wanting God's leadership, heart, mind, and soul. In fact, God is the one who we see who says later, it's not good for Adam to be alone. Adam doesn't even recognize that. Why? Because Adam was completely focused and dependent on God. And what we find is that full reliance on God, full trust in God's leading, and full surrender to God's directions and God's instructions works. God is our master. We long to follow our master. We trust our master, and we run after him for our sustenance. We run after him for our direction. We run after him for our protection. We run after him for our everything. Adam showed us that following God as our master works at finding life at its fullest. Jesus backs it up centuries later by saying, put God first, heart, mind, and soul. He is the master. Do so and you will find life working. Well, we've seen what works. But now on to question two. What doesn't work? Well, gang, everything changed for Adam and Eve when they decided to eat the fruit that allowed them to decide what is good and what is not good. Everything changed when they ate the fruit that allowed them to decide what is desirable and what is not desirable. When they ate the fruit that had them decide what they should strive for in life and what they should run after. Gone was the full dependence on God that had worked. Gone was the trust that God would take care of everything. Gone was the wanting the best for God at their own expense. Gone was the leading God was doing. Gone was God as their master. And gone was what was working and what had worked. In came a new mind, a new heart, a new soul, one that craved and tried to get fulfillment for itself. One that tried to get rest and ran after pleasure and peace. These things became a new priority. They became the new purpose. These are the things that man would go after and in reality be the master of their efforts and desires and cravings. All of this is other than what God wanted. All of this misses the mark of what God had designed. Instead of wanting God, mankind wanted the products of God. Instead of wanting the God who will supply our fulfillment, we skip over God and simply try to get the fulfillment. We want that for ourselves. Instead of wanting the God who will supply our pleasure, we skip over God and try to procure the pleasure for ourselves in what God has made. Here's the point. It doesn't work when we love the supplies over the supplier. Say that again. It doesn't work when we love the supplies over the supplier. What is not going to work for finding success, finding fulfillment, and finding purpose is when we desire the creation and all that it contains and not loving the Lord your God first. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because our yearnings for the things that flow from God, those things become what drives us. They become our master. All those wondrous things God created become our focus. They become our yearning. They become our drive. And they become the siren song. The siren song that masters us. Our lives become quests looking for love instead of a quest for the one who created love. Our lives become a day in and day out crusade looking for security, which can really only be found in God, our rock. Our lives become massive hunts looking for purpose, looking for joy, peace, acceptance, beauty, and wonder, all of which mankind originally found those things by loving God and letting God rule them as their master. Friends, all the pursuit of God's goods, God's wondrous gifts, God's incredible provisions, gang, all that pursuit pushes God out of the picture and out of our lives. The Apostle John wrote this: don't love the world's goods. Don't love the world's goods. Don't love the world's ways. Love for the world squeezes out love for the Father. Our desire is for the supplies, not the supplier. Jesus made it clear, we can only have one first and foremost desire. There can only be one. We can only have one driving force in our life. We can only have one siren song that we're listening to. One master. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. You can only have one. For you will hate one and you'll love the other. Or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. He says you cannot serve God and mammon, meaning money, possessions, fame, status, or whatever is valued more than God. The Apostle Paul recognized that mankind was longing for the supplies over the supplier, and that it wasn't working. It's not working when they do that. So he wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, mankind traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served. They worshiped and served the things that God created instead of the Creator himself. Mankind never realized that this mix-up of our priorities, they never realized that that would wrench their hearts away from the loving, providing, good master. They never noticed that by craving the things of God, those things actually became their master. John wrote this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. Our hearts and minds, that were to love God first got pulled away. They got pulled away by trying to secure a new treasure. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where you'll find your heart. God had created love. God had created acceptance. He had created peace, joy. He had created our sustenance and our purpose. These are not evil things. The rub comes in, the sin comes in, when we seek the things over the one who supplies them. Now, before you give up hope, there's a fix. We saw what worked, we saw what didn't work. And Jesus says, we can make it work again. You can go back to getting things to work. We can move away from what doesn't work, and we can get back to what works. Jesus gives us the answer loud and clear in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You and I can love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So how do we do this? How do we do this? What is the fix? How do we get our eyes off of the supplies and onto the supplier? Well, Jesus says this in Matthew 16, 25. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. If you're looking to have life to the full, we must lose the other masters. The other masters have to go. Jesus says, that's the answer. We must have no other gods before Jesus. We must be sure that we're not serving two masters. Therefore, Jesus says, I can release you. I can release you from the spell you're under, the being mastered by, let's just say, love and the desire for love. You do that by putting your faith in me. Give that desire for being loved to me. Seek me. Seek me first, Jesus says. Love me first. Follow me first and foremost. Believe in me. And I will supply the love as I see is best for you. Let me release you, Jesus says, from being mastered by your desire for security. Let me release you from that. You're being mastered because you're looking for security. Jesus says, give that to me. Give that longing to me by faith. Trust. I will supply security to you as I see is best for you. And then what Jesus devoted over 42% of his parables to, Jesus says, let's deal with you being enslaved and mastered and overwhelmed by possessions and money. How is it, gang, that God will cure us from focusing on the supplies and not the supplier? Will the fix that God uses, will it be to not have any money? Maybe that's how he's going to do it. Just get rid of all. Just take faith that God will provide. Is that the spell breaker that God designed? I don't know. True? False? Will the fix be giving God all of our money? Having faith that somehow money and possessions will be stewarded by God and God will handle all of it completely outside of us? Is that the answer? Is that the true? Is that the one that will work? Or will God abate this siren song of striving to get by, making ends meet, by us hating money? Well, remember what we said at the beginning of this study. When we looked in the book of Proverbs, we said this: on this journey that we have taken, we will take what God says at face value. We have come and we want to know God's plan, and we've come to it with open minds, open hands, and we truly want to know what he instructs for us to have life to the full. So what is God's fix? for this idea of having our eyes on the supplies and not the supplier when it comes to finances. Well, God wrote this, black and white. 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, whatever, that belongs to the Lord. And it must be set apart to him as holy. God doesn't say that seeking the kingdom of God first, he doesn't say that it requires us to give 100% of our money and possessions. He doesn't say that. God doesn't say loving the Lord our God with our heart, soul, and mind means giving God 50% of our income. And God doesn't say that the spell will be broken by giving nothing. Give nothing. Or you know what, better yet, give what you could spare. He doesn't say that. God says in the verse, 1/10. 1/10, that is what the word tithe means. 1/10 of our harvest, 1/10 of our income, 1/10 of our blessing should be, must be, he says, set apart as holy. That means to separate it. God will use that for what he sees fit. So Westbridge, we need to honestly determine, am I being mastered and ruled by money that I think I require, or am I being mastered and ruled by God and what he believes I need? Jesus backs up this spiritual discipline of 10% to God. He backs it up in the New Testament, Jesus, because what I read to you is from Leviticus in the Old Testament. Jesus was dealing with some crooked religious leaders. He's dealing with a different issue, but he brings in the tithe idea. Here's what he says in Matthew 23:23. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of the religious law, and you Pharisees, you hypocrites. He says, you carefully tithe. You tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. And check what he says here. You should tithe. He didn't change it. He says, you should tithe, yes, but you neglect the more important things, what he's dealing with them on. Now, I have to be honest with you. God is giving us guidelines on how to break free from being ruled and run by our finances. He's giving us instruction on what works and not letting anything else come before him in our hearts. God says the fix for writing our priorities, the fix for not desiring the supplies more than the supplier, is to set aside 10% as holy. And I have to say that seems a small percentage to break the spell of loving and being mastered by money, possessions, and security. But God in his omniscience, taking it face value for what he says, he knows that's all a person needs to surrender to break the spell and put God back in first place in their heart, soul, mind, as far as money and possessions go. The title of this message is, What Works, What Doesn't Work? I tried my best to explain and show you what works and will not work as far as finances go. I've tried my best to explain and show the traps that our hearts get caught in, and I've tried my best to explain and show the truth of our hearts trusting and placing faith in the wrong thing. Westbridge, we are a church. We are a church that runs on what God says. We run on what God has written in his word. We trust in what God has given us in the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. As I closed out my computer this week working on this message, I saw my computer clipboard on the side where I paste all my scripture and what I'm working on. And I thought it was interesting when I kind of looked at it as I sat back and I saw them all lined up and just started reading right through them. I pasted them in the order that I believe says it very plainly. I'd just like to read it to you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Love the Lord your God. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Unfortunately, mankind traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created. They wanted the creation instead of the Creator himself. And that will never bring you a life that works, because no one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. Or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. No one can serve God and mammon or money, possessions, fame, status, or whatever is valued more than God. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that I created, all those things that you're after, they'll be added to you. As far as your finances go, 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord, and you must set it apart as holy. Do you want to find life that works? Do you want to find success, fulfillment, freedom, and purpose? Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, how it all started. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of your produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. For as Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Not long ago, I was speaking to a 17-year-old young lady, 17 years old. She's a sweet girl. She never had a job when we were talking. She had never had a job. She had focused pretty heavily on her schoolwork, good student. But now, as I was talking to her, she was getting her first job. She would make $75 a week, she told me. She was heading to college, and she said, I can do this job throughout my 4 years of college. I can do this. $75 a week I'll make. I felt happy for her, and because I know how broke college kids are. I know. Just a few bucks is a lot of money to a college kid. Well, I saw her later, a few months later, I ran into her. I asked her how everything was going. And she said, oh, it's going great. And I said, are you still working? She said, absolutely. Oh, yes, I am working. I'm doing just what I said. So I kidded her, and I said to her, well, have you bought anything with that money? And she said, yes, I have. I thought, oh, brother, what did she blow her money on? These kids today, right? Can't even be trusted with 2 nickels. She says, well, I only bought one thing. So I says, one thing? What was that? And she said, well, I sponsored a child in Africa. She said, it takes a little over 10%, just over 10%. She said, but I figured, and she kept talking, but at that point, I heard nothing. And she said, at that point, all I could think was, this girl will never be mastered by money. Never be enslaved to greed. Never have any trouble putting the supplier before the supplies. He will be who she serves first. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. The wisest man ever to walk the earth outside of Jesus Christ says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything that you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Westbridge, that's what works. I didn't make it up. That's what the Bible tells us. Face value. So as the band comes back and the worship leaders return, ask God. Say, Lord, what runs me these days? What masters me? Is there a desire to be loved that I am after more than you, the one who created love? Am I after security? Am I after the things that I think I need that really you had told us from the beginning, if I seek you first, you'll supply all I need? And where am I at with this concept, the spiritual discipline that you decided, you designed? Jesus is saying, yes, you should. You should. Where am I at with that? Because we're looking for lives that work. Really, we can't afford not to. 16 years ago, when we were going to start Westbridge Community Church, we didn't have any money. We didn't have anything. We didn't have a place to meet. All we had was an idea. We had a dream and a calling from God that we wanted people to be able to come to a place that would be a place that we would want to go to. And I never forget, it was in the talking process, and we knew we were going to pull the trigger on it. We were going to go for it. We didn't have anything, and from out of nowhere came someone who understood what it meant to put aside the tenth. I didn't say anything. He just came to me and handed me a check for $337. I'll never forget the number. $337. And I said, we're good. We got our first week. We got our first week. And now here we are, 16 years later, and what God has done in people's lives is miraculous, to say the least. We're not a church that's giant, but we're a church that has a giant heart. And I thank the Lord that there are people who understood the spiritual discipline and who lived it. That was 16 years ago. And now it's our turn. I'm going to ask the band to do one last song, and then we're going to close out. Lord, I pray that would be our heart's cry, that nothing is going to hold us back. Nothing of the supplies will come into our lives more than our desire for you. Lord, let us put you first. Lord, I pray that nothing would master us except you. You would be what we long for. You will be what we run after. And Lord, I thank you that you have made things very plain, very clear. And Lord, we know that it's what you're doing for us. You don't need us. You don't need our finances. This is a way that you have seen bring us closer to you. And Lord, I thank you for it. Nor, Lord, I pray that you be with each one of us as we leave this place. We go in different directions. Keep them safe on the roads. Keep everybody in the center of your will. Have each one of us, Lord, continue to let your Spirit talk to us throughout the week. Show us what you want us to do, how you want us to live, and how to advance your kingdom. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. See you next week, 7 o'clock.